Good morning, and welcome to another Tuesday edition of the Morning Show. This, the last one of August. I think this summer has just flown by. It absolutely seems to just have gone bonkers, hasn't it, Julie?
Phil, I couldn't agree more. I was looking up and seeing that it was like the end of August, and I thought, what happened to this entire summer? Well, what happened, of course, were fires and smoke and drought, those sort of things. I think it's kept us from doing as much outside as we would normally do on other summers.
It might be, but now we're going to have to cram it all in because cooler weather and clearer skies seem to have arrived, and like they'll last for a while. But before we let go of summer, you know, and all the wonderful activities, there's still some berries to be picked and some hikes to be had, fish to be caught. There's also another thing to be done, and it's one normally done earlier in the summer, and that's the annual Chafe 150 ride.
And it's a big deal.
It's a big deal, but this year it's been moved from the springtime, from June on into fall, and we're going to talk more today about that. So no time like the present time to introduce, bring in Brad Williams, who is one of the founders of the ride, one of the members of Rotary that puts it on. And I believe, Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, this current year's race director. Welcome, Brad.
Thank you very much. Pleased to be here.
So let's start a little bit with the history of the Chafe 150, how long it's been around, how it got started, how you got involved.
Okay, sure. That's great. This is our 14th year. The ride was originally sponsored by Panhandle Alliance for Education, and Panhandle Alliance ran the ride for the first roughly 5 years. And since that time, it's been taken over by the Rotary Club of Sandpoint. And, you know, the actual genesis of the ride is I ride my bike a bunch, and I have a cabin on Bull Lake in western Montana, and, you know, I've done a bunch of other organized rides around the U.S., and, you know, we just live in such a spectacularly beautiful place, and we have a great place for an organized ride, so I just started looking around for routes that would you know, present something kind of challenging and unique, and came up with the idea of the Chafe 150. You know, most organized bicycle rides are shorter. You know, there are numerous rides of 100 miles. That's kind of the standard length for kind of a long organized ride. And but that one wouldn't work with this route, so we made it a little longer.
So that's kind of a long one. 150 is pretty darn long.
It's pretty audacious.
Yeah, it is a long ride, but, you know, challenge is really what riders are looking for in this sort of thing. And we do have a variety of ride lengths. So, you know, not everyone rides the 150, but the 150 is kind of our signature event.
Yeah, it's really more than just the one ride, isn't it? It's a whole bunch of rides. Maybe we could go there next and you could tell us about the multiples of events that are all happening simultaneous with the long one.
Yeah, certainly. Well, first of all, we have a registration event on Friday evening where riders come and socialize a bit and have some beer and wine. Then the rides start Saturday morning. The rides are all sort of timed with their starts to where the riders are kind of arriving at the finish, you know, not exactly together, but near the same time. And so we have a very lively kind of after ride party with food and drinks. And, you know, if you're around, even if you're not a rider, you're welcome to swing by City Beach, and there's a dinner catered by Trinity at Cindy Beach, and you can purchase a meal ticket and hang out. It's just a wonderful event. And the ride lengths, like I said, you know, the 150 is kind of the signature ride. It starts quite early, between 6 and 7 on Saturday, and then Saturday, September 11th. Then we also run a 100 and 180-mile ride. Those involve a bus ride to Troy, Montana, and then starting in Troy and riding back to City Beach. Then we run a 25 and a 40 mile option, which leave from Sandpoint and go up into the beautiful Sully Valley and then back into town.
It all makes and 25 miles sound short.
Yeah. That is our shortest distance.
So I'm going to have to admit to you all that I don't think I've ever ridden 25 miles at one time. And that would lead to the next question. Who are the folks who get involved in the CHAFE as participants? It must be a variety of people with all these different rides. And what is the training like?
The bulk of our riders are from out of the area. So it is a bit of a tourist draw every year. We'll have riders from all over the U.S. and Western Canada. The majority are, within a 150, 200 mile radius, Spokane, Coeur d'Alene, Missoula, Moscow, Pullman, Cranbrook, Creston, those sorts of places. But, we do get people from all over. And the people that are riding those longer distances are, they're dedicated riders, people that are putting in, a few thousand miles over the course of the year. But we do have lots of people that are more casual as well. It's a wide variety.
So yeah, the 25 milers are the casual folks, I'm sure. Those must be families. I would think those might be kids and parents.
We have any number of people riding these various distances. We've had people well into their 90s riding the shorter distances.
So I've heard the event described as a grand fondo, and I think in the bicycling world that has some particular meaning, but it's also, I think, loosely translated Italian for great fun or something, isn't it?
Big ride.
Big ride, grandfather. Yeah.
And it's not a race, right? Whenever someone calls it a race, I always snap at them and correct them. This is a time event, but there are no prizes for having the fastest time. The timing is just so people can measure themselves, challenge themselves. What we're really about is it's a charity run. Over the years, this event has been here in Sandpoint. We've raised over $700,000 for the educational system here. The early history of the ride with Panhandle Alliance for Education, we supported the Ready for Kindergarten early literacy program. Then for a number of years, we supported autism programs in the school district. And now we're back to kind of a different version of early literacy and numeracy. But this year we'll be putting probably around $100,000 back to the district.
That's pretty impressive.
Programs that wouldn't be funded otherwise.
Right. That's kind of amazing when you think about it. A great event that people enjoy, and then this much money. We have tourism dollars coming into the community, and then this going directly into programs for kids. Amazing.
It's really fabulous. And so you've mentioned that there's a lot of local riders, but this is also has become a nationally now renowned event. Tell us where some of the people are coming from.
Well, first of all, just a little bit about how we got started. When I originally had this idea, Bill Berg, a local attorney here, was the president of the board of Panhandle Alliance for Education. And what we came up with for our kind of mission for this is to make it the best event of its kind in the U.S. And we stayed true to that. We have this team of core volunteers that are just second to none. This is not something that's just kind of thrown together on a Friday. We spend all year doing this, and we have been nationally recognized. We were recognized by Bicycling Magazine as being one of the top 10 charity rides in the U.S. We were number 3. We've also been recognized as the most scenic grand fondo. US.
Charitable and scenic. That's impressive.
Yeah, yeah. And we do get people from, like I said, you know, all over the US and Canada. The majority come from the, you know, BC, Alberta, Idaho, Montana, Washington.
Well, I think we've taken for granted or maybe skipped over that there are folks new to the area who might be listening. And tell us a little bit more about the route and what makes it so scenic.
Yeah, okay. Well, the 150 starts at City Beach in Sandpoint with a great breakfast, also provided by Trinity, and leaves along Highway 95 to Bonner's Ferry, and then switches to Highway 2 and heads towards Troy, Montana. And then from Troy, we take some back roads that lead us to Highway 56 past Bull Lake, then onto Highway 200 near Heron, Montana, and then we go off of Highway 200 and through some back roads to Clark Fork and then back to Sandpoint. And so it's actually a little bit, it's closer to 155 miles than it is to 150. But it's just a tremendously scenic route, and you know, particularly that area from Troy back to Sandpoint. And so the two intermediate distance rides, the 100 and the 80, both utilize that you know, Troy through Sandpoint route, which is far and away the most scenic part of the ride. And I'm sure most everyone in the area has been along that Highway 56 with the beautiful views of the Scotchman's on one side and the cabinets on the other. And then, you know, coming back along 200 next to the Clark Fork and Lake Ponderay. It's just a spectacular setting.
Yeah,
it really is.
It's quite a stunning drive, even just to take folks from out of town on the whole circumnavigation of the West Cabinet Mountains. What a special place we live in.
So it's also kind of a hairy little highway, though, with narrow shoulders and lots of curves and turns and ups and downs. How do you manage that with all these riders?
Well, you know, safety is a huge priority for us. We pay a great deal of attention to that. We mark the roads very well, you know, so there's all sorts of signs alerting motorists. We also have a huge number of support crew. We'll have probably 7 motorcycles on site on the road, kind of alerting motorists and providing a little bit of protection. Then we also have SAG vehicles. And, you know, the portions of the road that are busy, you know, like that Highway 95 between here and Bonner's, we accomplish that very early in the day. So the traffic there isn't that much. And, you know, we do utilize back roads where we can, like the Chase Cutoff around Tri-Montana, and the recently paved road between Heron, Montana, and Clark Fork to get people off of main roads as much as possible.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Over the years with, you know, thousands of riders, we've had 2 moderately serious accidents, but both were caused by, you know, traditional sorts of bicycle accidents, you know, people running into each other or inattention. You know, nothing really serious and nothing involving vehicular traffic.
I think, you know, it's such a busy road that the precautions taken to make sure drivers are aware of the event going on are really significant. But there's also a whole core of people on motorcycles who are helping to provide both some education for motorists as well as check-in safety. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, we have a core group of roughly 7 people riding quiet motorcycles. No offense, but no Harleys allowed. To help with that particular thing, and you know, some of these people have been involved in these types of bicycle events at high levels. You know, by that I mean international racing, bike racing. So, you know, they know what they're doing. They are very good at assisting us with maintaining safety.
Yeah, keeping people safe. We've talked about some safety, mm-hmm. and we've talked about the SAG wagon, and there's additional support too, isn't there? There's some hydration stations.
Yeah, we, you know, like I mentioned before, you know, our goal is to make this the best organized event of its type in the U.S. And so we have different rest stops along the routes. We're shooting to have rest stops every 25 to 30 miles. The rest stops utilize, or, you know, contain a wide variety of foods and drinks. We try to keep it varied. You know, it's a little tough this time around with COVID. You know, we can't be quite so free with, you know, the methods we serve the food. So, you know, most everything will be individually packaged this year, but we try for a wide variety. And we go so far as to, you know, present a trophy to the break stop that has, you know, the most unique offering during the year. And we conduct a poll of our riders and award a little bit of an annual trophy for that every year.
Yeah.
And the Friends of Scotchmen have won it a couple of times.
Yes. And those are they volunteers? They're organizations, right? They're normally organizations that help out at the stations, but they're volunteering, right? They don't get paid.
Yeah. No, more or less everything on this ride is volunteer.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
That's a really great point. And, you know, I've heard different estimates in the past, and I'm sure it's a floating number, but give us a sense of the number of volunteers that help out, not just day of, but in advance, during, and after. How big a volunteer effort is it?
It takes roughly 100 people on the day of the ride to put it on. You know, I mean, some are only working an hour or two, but, you know, it takes about 100 people. And there's a core group of us that work year-round, and that core group is probably putting in, you know, 100 to 200 hours a year doing this.
It's a big deal to get that organized. Yep. Well, I do mm-hmm. hope that the ice cream bars will be available this year. Is that going to happen, or will I just have to go get my own ice cream bar?
I think you should ride and find out. I'm not sure.
Can you not known.
Tell us a little bit more about how COVID impacted you last year. Let's not dwell on that, but in the history of the ride, last year was different. I think it didn't happen at all. And this year, there's certainly some modifications being made. So tell us about how COVID's impacted the whole operation. I should back up and say, even though there wasn't a ride, there was still a successful fundraising effort around things last year. So that's the main thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, last year, the ride is usually the third Saturday in June, and we'll revert to that in 2022. But last year, leading up to it, you know, there was just so much uncertainty and so many things were being canceled. We canceled the ride altogether. But we'd already done our sponsorship drive, and we'd raised roughly $100,000 in sponsorship. And our sponsors are incredibly generous, and most allowed us to keep their money, and we put that towards those same educational causes. So last year, from a fundraising standpoint, we were very successful. We raised a lot of fundraising dollars and didn't have any ride costs, so the dollars went straight to charity.
That's amazing.
This year, with the uncertainty related to COVID, you know, at the time we were planning this, it looked like we'd be much more successful if we could push the ride back to September. Now with the upswing in the new Delta variant, you know, that causes its own concerns, and we're making adjustments day by day. We were planning on having a movie night on Friday before the ride, but we've had to cancel that. So, you know, things are changing. So we'll continue to plan, and, you know, our goal is the utmost safety of everyone concerned, riders and volunteers. So we will do what we can.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So with the mm-hmm. shift in timing, too late to sign up for a ride? What's the deadline to sign up as a rider?
We would love to have everyone come out and participate. Like we say, there is a ride for everyone, and you can register as late as Saturday morning.
Oh, okay.
You know, we would really like to have people sign up ahead of time, because you know, the logistical difficulties, you know, ordering supplies and all that sort of thing. So, you know, if you'd like to ride, please register early. But if for some reason you can't, or you have a friend that decides late they'd like to register, you know, feel free to do that. We will have a registration event on Friday, September 10 from 7 to 9 p.m. Please come and register then, or Saturday morning if you need to.
And the best place is probably online. There's probably a website that you can get through Google. Is there an easy URL?
Yes. Just go to chafe150.org and sign up. And there's
all right. Registration.
That is the easy way to go. Now, Brad, I've got to ask you some personal questions. You've been involved with the history of the Chafe, and you're obviously a bicycle rider. Are you doing one of the rides this year?
Yeah, I've done the 150 every year since inception, other than one year I had some surgery on my foot and couldn't do it, but I'll be doing the 150.
Oh my goodness.
Nice.
That's making me feel ashamed. I better try for 5 miles and get myself going.
Well, there's always room. I'm sure there's room for a few more volunteers too. I guess the same question, if someone's listening going, I want to be part of this. I'm not a rider, but I want to be part of it. What's the best way to engage as a volunteer? Who should they contact?
Well, I would be a reasonable one, and you could call my office. It's Williams and Schiller CPAs.
Okay. Or go to the website, I bet. I bet you could go ahead and let folks, I bet folks could volunteer that way. Maybe?
Yeah, we don't really have a volunteer sign up on there, but there would be contact information, yes.
Okay, well, you better repeat your phone number then.
Well, our office phone number is 208-265-5959 if you're interested in volunteering.
Yeah, very good.
You're going to get that Tuesday morning show bump and see a flood of volunteers this week.
And you know what? I'm going to give you a testimonial right now, Brad, because for, I'm going to say 5 years, KRFY has been one of the hydration stations, refreshment stations, and I've been able to man that every year, except, of course, last year since I've lived here and have been involved with KRFY. And I've got to tell you, it's a pretty fun thing to do, making sure people have the beverages and the food that they need to continue on with their ride. It's pretty fun, and I feel like if I haven't ridden, at least I've been able to do that.
And I we hear a lot of that. I mean, I think the volunteers do have a good time at those aid stations.
Yeah, I've volunteered most of the last 5 years, and it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's just great. It's inspiring me some year to get out there and ride enough and training to actually participate, but this isn't going to be that year. This is another year for volunteering, I think.
No, but Phil, something about your refreshment station is very appealing, because you guys win almost every year.
We have, and the secret to success, the friends put on a grilled bratwurst station, but I'm told this year with COVID, we're not going to do that. We're going to have some other things. So I think we're being hamstrung in the name of COVID, but, you know, there it is.
Well, what are we missing here? Oh, I think one thing, Brad, is sponsors. Let's talk about some of these wonderful people who've made it happen and even made it not happen last year, but still contributed.
Yeah, no, I would love to thank our sponsors. Like I've said before, these people are incredibly generous. This year, they've donated over $100,000. And our gold level sponsors, our presenting sponsors, Lighthouse Foods, and our gold sponsors include Like Media, Gary and Julie French, Cochava, Remax Realty, Timberline Helicopters, and Ting. And our silver sponsors are the 219 Lounge, Pondere Mechanical, KPND, Williams & Schiller, that's my company, Trinity at City Beach, Bonner General Health, Greasy Fingers, Bikes and Repair, Bonner County Daily Bee, Alana Westfall, Washington Trust Bank, Sandpoint Living Local, Jason Ducal Photography, Clearwater Gear, Arby's, Hendrix Architecture, Sully Valley Construction, Winter Ridge, Kiyoki, Norm Ettinger, Edward Jones, and Parker Subaru. And again, thanks so much to those businesses, and please support them. You know, they're community spirited, and you know, they're putting their money back to education.
Yeah, these are your big donors. It's amazing that you have so many, and some are local and some are more national. It's a wonderful combination. I'm happy to hear about it. It's mm-hmm. great, and yeah. supports a great cause. Go ahead, Phil.
I was gonna say, it takes quite a community to put it on. And of course, community awareness helps the event. And if folks are not out there riding, not out there volunteering, but out doing something else that day, be careful as you're driving around the streets of the area, both on the official route itself, but also bicyclists are coming and going to and from the venue in many directions. So pay attention and pay care around the city streets of Sandpoint and the loop around the West Cabinets on September 11th.
11th.
Yes, yes. Remember that date. It's an auspicious date, and be careful and watch for bikers on that date. Well, Brad, is there anything we've missed, or shall we go ahead and sign off for today?
Well, just one other little plug for that event at City Beach. You know, if you're out and about on Saturday afternoon and early evening, you know, please swing by and have a look at this event and celebrate what these riders have accomplished. It's just a wonderful event and a beautiful setting, and everyone's welcome. So come on by.
Yeah, I agree. I've been to that event, and it's really an inspiring event. And one is able to think about all the good that's been accomplished and admire the riders who've done such work during the day. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the Rotary Club has done a fantastic job with this thing. And, you know, they and the community should be proud of this, right? I mean, we're putting on an event that is really kind of world class.
It really is. Yes. Well, I think that's a perfect way to end this interview. And with that, I would like to thank you, Brad Williams, Ride Director for the Chafe 150. This has been KRFY Community Conversations, talking about the upcoming Chafe 150 for September 11th. And I want to thank you all for listening, and hope you'll tune in next week.